Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Before we begin, a quick warning. Today's episode contains descriptions of death and execution right from the start. There are lots of ways to suffocate: drowning, hanging, choking, strangulation. And now, in America, they're experimenting with a whole new method. Nitrogen gas. Using nitrogen to cause suffocation is considered such a cruel way to die that vets in America are advised not to use it to put down pets. But now, the American state of Alabama is going to try it on a human.
Alabama is adopting a method of execution that's never been used in history.
Kenneth Smith was sentenced to death following a murder-for-hire plot back in 1988.
Mr. Smith will be forced to breathe pure nitrogen, and without oxygen, his cells and soon his organs will fail.
How cruel and unusual is it?
Well, we just don't know.
This is pretty much an experiment for them. People are not used for experiments.
The execution is going ahead next Thursday, on the 25th of January. So why is Alabama experimenting with novel and potentially cruel ways of killing inmates? And who is Kenneth Smith, the man they've chosen to experiment on? You're listening to Stories of Our Times from The Times and The Sunday Times. I'm Manveen Rana. Today, the death row guinea pig, America's first nitrogen execution.
I'm Alastair Dover, I'm the Washington correspondent at The Times and The Sunday Times, and my job is to write not just about Washington and what goes on in American politics, but also what happens across the rest of the US, from politics to diplomacy, but also to life in America.
And Alastair, one of the things you've looked at, one of the aspects of life in America, is the death penalty, in particular as it involves a character called Kenny Smith. Now, just tell us a bit about him. Who is Kenny Smith?
Kenneth Eugene Smith, or Kenny, as he's known to his family, is a 58-year-old man who, as a 22-year-old, was convicted of murder. And since then, he has been in the same prison, the Holman Correctional Center in southern Alabama, where he spent most of his life, more than 30 years on death row. And November 2022, he had a date for his execution. It was botched by the state, and he became one of the very few people to have survived an execution.
Wow. And Alistair, you've actually been in touch with this man. Tell me a bit about that.
That's right. So he now has a new date for an execution, the 25th of January, and he's going to be put to death in a very novel way. He's going to be made to breathe in pure nitrogen. And as you say, I've been in touch with him, and I've also met and spoken to members of his family as well, who still live in Alabama, still live in the town where the murder took place in 1988.
Tell me about meeting his family. Where did you meet and what was that like? Because presumably for them, just as for him, this is something that's been going on for 30 years now and they've lived in the shadow of it.
So I met a number of members of Kenny's family in a town called Florence, which is in northern Alabama, just on the Tennessee border. And we met at a Red Lobster restaurant.
Thanks ever so much for meeting. And I know it's a very difficult time.
It's a chain of seafood restaurants here in the US where his son Stephen works. And there were about sort of eight family members there as well.
You need to try these biscuits. Well,
I will. Everybody always talks about Red Lobster biscuits.
Yeah. See, this isn't a biscuit in my view, but it's
a southern looking biscuit.
So his mother, Linda, who of all the members of the family is the most quiet and most reflective, I think, is really struggling. But I also met his wife, Deanna, and Deanna's interesting because they only met 7 years ago.
While he was on death row.
While he was on death row, Deanna's quite a bit younger. I think she's in her late 30s. And as I say, they married only 7 years ago.
We just kind of have our own thing, I guess. Uh-huh. Because of the distance, we do live on the phone. We talk about anything and everything, and play games together. We read, we meditate together, we pray together.
And she is a highly intelligent, very eloquent woman who has really taken Kenny's case under her wing. And so together they describe the impact it's having on them. I mean, Florence is a long way from the Holman Correctional Center where Kenny's being held. It's about a 5.5-hour drive. So they don't really get to see him that often.
And what about the man himself? What's Kenny like?
He is very eloquent. He's intelligent. He's bright. I was struck and have been struck by how calm he is. By his own admission, he had battles in his early 20s with drugs and with alcohol. He's someone who says has found religion. He is very thoughtful. And as anyone, I think, in his situation, he's also terrified about what might be happening in the coming weeks.
I can imagine. And Alistair, as you said, you know, this is a man in a very rare position of already having survived execution. Just tell us a bit about that. This is the state of Alabama, have already tried to kill him once. What exactly happened?
On the night of the 17th of November 2022, he was shackled. He was taken into what's known as the death chamber and strapped to a gurney.
I don't know if you've seen the execution chamber in Alabama.
I haven't, no.
The table is basically looks like a crucifix, and the light above the table is a big cross, and he had to sit there and wait to meet his maker, he thought.
His arms were spread out and his sleeves rolled up. He was prepared for his execution, and the process began. They managed to get a line, an ultravenous line into his left arm. You need an ultravenous line into your right arm as well. The people performing that task, trying to get the line into his arm, couldn't get find a vein. It was then decided that they would try and get a line in through through a vein in his neck. He said he was repeatedly stabbed by a large needle as they attempted to do that. And when that failed, they attempted to get the line in through his feet. He says that at one point he looked at the clock and it was 11:45 and the death warrant expired at midnight. So he said, I just need to survive long enough, another 15 minutes, so that this comes to an end. And he describes it as being very painful. And he said at one point, one of the people trying to administer the line into his right arm asked him to clench his fist so that his vein would become more pronounced. And at that point he said, well, you know, I've been a model prisoner for more than 30 years. I've never been in any trouble. I've never been involved in any violence. But I'm absolutely not going to help them kill me. I'm not going to be an actor in my own execution. And at midnight, the effort to insert the line in various parts of his body was brought to an end. He was taken off the gurney and was taken back to his cell. But of course, at that point, all his clothes, all his belongings, they'd already been boxed up and sent out of the prison with the expectation he wouldn't be coming back.
I mean, that's extraordinary to have gone through that whole experience, to have, you know, presumably had your last meal, prepared yourself for what's coming, and then at the last minute not to happen. And that must be very traumatic for his family too, who presumably were watching all of this.
Well, his family were in a hotel nearby, and they were told that they would be invited into the viewing area, if you like.
I went home that day early.
Yeah.
And then I was back home by 6 o'clock, which was when it was supposed to start.
It's all very macabre, but it's the way it works. They're taken to an adjacent room that has a window with a curtain across that window. And once all the lines are in place, and once he's strapped down to the gurney, that curtain is then drawn back, and they are able to witness his last moments. And they, of course, never got the call to come.
And I said, it's a computer, like I said, till 12, constantly looking and refreshing, seeing every bit of information.
Refreshing what?
Refreshing the computer, like, searching for the latest news on what's going on with the execution and everything.
Gotcha.
They got very worried that they weren't going to be there at the moment. But, of course, it turned out that their panic, and I think they were quite panicked, was misplaced because the execution wasn't going ahead.
I suppose to understand the entire case for Kenny Smith and his time on death row, you have to understand why he's there. So just take us back a bit. Tell us why he's on death row, who he killed and what happened.
So as a 22-year-old, I think it's fair to say that Kenny was a bit of a tearaway. He was paid $1,000, as was his friend, John Forrest Parker, to murder the wife of a pastor. The pastor was a guy called Charles Sennett, who had taken out a life insurance policy on his wife's life, Elizabeth Sennett. He was a pastor in a town called Sheffield, which is just next door to Florence. And one afternoon, Kenny Smith and John Forrest Parker broke into the house when only Elizabeth Parker was there. They made it look like a robbery, as they'd been asked to do. And in the course of that, they beat her to death. Now, the police soon cottoned on to the fact that Charles Sennett was involved in some way. It's alleged that he had several affairs, that the life insurance policy was needed because he was in debt, and he killed himself a week later. When the police started asking questions, Kenny was arrested, as was John Forrest Parker, and they were both put on trial for first-degree murder in Alabama. The jury found both men guilty of murder in the first degree. John Forrest Parker, Kenny's accomplice, was also paid $1,000. He was executed in 2010. Their cases are separated when they get sent to prison. They both got separate dates, and John Forrest Parker exhausted his appeal, and he was executed almost 14 years ago. So Kenny is the only person left of the whole sorry saga.
And Alistair, this is 30 years down the line. Why does it take so long, and why is it that the accomplice was killed a whole 14 years ago?
The legal system in America grinds very, very slowly. It's not unusual to have people on death row for several decades, especially if there are legal complications in the case. Obviously, there are appeals to be heard, and the cases move at different times.
So that leaves Kenny Smith still on death row, awaiting this new execution, potentially next week. What went wrong the first time round? I mean, surely the staff they use must be trained to find a vein. How did the first execution fail?
So many of these go by without there being a hitch at all. We only write about the ones that go wrong. And often these people are quite old and quite wizened, and they're smokers, or they've eaten crap food all their lives, and there's a medical reason why they can't get there. But I honestly think it's probably just incompetence and nervousness on the part of the people carrying these things out. So doctors can't do it, right? If you're taking your Hippocratic Oath, you can't kill someone. So they're medical orderlies. They're not always the best people, these guys. And then when it doesn't happen the first time, it's like, oh, shit, we can't find it. And it becomes a sort of panic thing, especially in that environment. It's not someone having an injection in a hospital. It's in a death chamber. If you imagine, like, it's hot. You're in southern Alabama. You know, you're trying to stick a needle to someone in a death chamber who's strapped to a gurney. Maybe they're struggling. I imagine it's quite fresh and quite fraught.
So Kenny Smith is still on death row. They've attempted to kill him once. It didn't work. What happens now?
Well, the state has decided that because it failed in its attempt to kill him by lethal injection, it is now going to attempt an entirely new, novel and untested method of capital punishment. A lot of the details have been redacted in court cases and in legal papers. But we think they're going to try and attach an airtight mask to Kenny's face and make him breathe pure nitrogen. Much of the air around us is made up of nitrogen, but the oxygen makes it breathable. He'll be made to breathe pure nitrogen, which is a method called nitrogen hypoxia, and will suffocate. The state say it's perfectly safe. He'll essentially fall to sleep, and eventually the nitrogen will kill him. His lawyers say otherwise. They say it's fraught with danger, not just to Kenny Smith. I mean, if the mask isn't entirely airtight, they say they're concerned about the people administering the nitrogen.
I mean, I understand that not even vets use this. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
They won't put an animal down that way.
Correct.
Vets won't put your dog down that way.
It's deemed inhumane for like domestic pets.
Correct.
But we're going to do it to a human?
Right.
That's a little cruel and unusual in itself.
There have been a number of high-profile cases like Kenny's where executions by lethal injection being botched. Many of the pharmaceutical firms that supply the drugs have decided that it's not something that they necessarily want to be associated with. So many of the drugs that are used are becoming more scarce, and many have been looking at alternatives. We've had some states considering the reintroduction of shooting by firing squad, for example. But Alabama insists that this is a fair, humane, and simple way of doing what it says is justice. The Secretary of State in Alabama, who it must be said has refused several approaches by the Times to get comment on what the plans are, they insist that Kenny has been on death row far too long, and every day that he remains there is a day that justice goes unserved.
Why is it that they're using this over, say, the electric chair? I mean, wouldn't that be a possibility?
I don't think there's any method of execution that is seen as particularly humane. I think the electric chair is seen as something that's quite violent, as is things like the gas chamber and then shooting by firing squad. I think one of the things with the lethal injection, it was seen almost as a sort of clinical procedure. And I think possibly nitrogen is the same. I mean, it's been sold very much by the Attorney General's office in Alabama as a way of almost putting the prisoner to sleep. But of course, it's not absolutely clear how they can prove that. And as I say, this is the first time it will have ever been tried.
Well, how many chances do you get? I mean, how many new protocols do you have to go through? I mean, you shouldn't get a new method every time one fails.
Right.
That's not justice.
Coming up, could there be a last-minute reprieve for Kenneth Smith? That's in just a moment. And just a quick reminder, if you are a Time subscriber, you can now access our bonus podcasts every weekend on Apple Podcasts. They take you inside the newsroom for a little behind-the-scenes peek at how the Times is put together. If you want to have a listen and you don't know how, just log on to thetimes.co.uk/bonus podcasts.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And for Kenny, who's now facing this alternative way of being killed, what can he do? Is he fighting it?
So his lawyers appealed on the 20th of December, saying that the method of nitrogen hypoxia was a cruel and unusual punishment, which is unlawful under the American Constitution. They say it could lead to a violent death were he to choke on his own vomit. They ultimately want the death penalty to be reversed and for him to be given a sentence of life without parole. Now, obviously, the state of Alabama fought that, and the court has come out on the side of the state. So as things stand on the 25th of January, Kenny's execution will go ahead by nitrogen hypoxia. But that's not the end of the legal process. His lawyers can appeal all the way up to the US Supreme Court. And I think it's possible, if not necessarily likely, that the US Supreme Court will hear Kenny's case because of the novel way in which the state's trying to execute him. But as with many of these cases, it could go right down to the wire. In November 22, there were appeals being heard by various courts, even as Kenny was in the death chamber.
This is so fascinatingly different to the British system. I mean, I was really struck by the idea that the American Constitution allows for the death penalty, but doesn't want it to be too painful. But in terms of the way it plays out now, if Kenny does win one of those appeals that is going through, will it be a total stay of execution, or would it just mean that they couldn't kill him in this particular way and it would just sort of go on until they came up with another way of doing it?
It's highly likely, I think, that the state of Alabama will appeal any decision to postpone the execution or to change the method. There's a majority in Alabama that favors the death penalty among the public. It's popular in Alabama. So if a court, all the way up to the US Supreme Court, says that making him breathe pure nitrogen is unconstitutional, then I think that they will try another method.
Alistair, stepping back, how many states are still use the death penalty and how many people are in death row?
There are 24, so just under half the American states that still have the death penalty. And another three have the death penalty, but because the sitting governors won't sign the death warrants on moral grounds, there's effectively a moratorium on capital punishment. It's something that is increasingly less popular with American voters. And we've seen over time more and more states cancelling death penalty or banning it or no longer implementing it. There are about 2,500 prisoners across the states on death row. And executions are fairly regular occurrences. You know, typically you're talking about maybe two or three each month across the US. Now, in pretty much every case, the lethal injection is used, and often it goes off without a hitch, but there are some cases where it hasn't worked particularly well, and I think Kenny's is the most sort of now infamous of those.
Yeah. Just give us a brief history lesson here. I mean, how long has America had the death penalty, and did it used to apply across the country?
Yeah, and still does to an extent. There's still a federal death penalty. So obviously, Kenny's being tried or was tried under Alabama state law, but where there are still capital crimes on the federal statute book. So there is a sort of nationwide death penalty, although certainly under Joe Biden, it's never been implemented. The death penalty has existed in the states since the states came into being 250 years ago or so, and was used widely in pretty much every state. And over time, a number of states, particularly those where the Democrats have been in power, have written the death penalty out of state constitutions. But in parts of the country, particularly in the South, particularly in states where there is a Republican majority, it continues to be implemented and continues to be used.
And you mentioned that across the country, nationally, it's much less popular now. But in Alabama, there's still a lot of support for it. Why is that?
The southern states tend to be more religious. They tend to have an evangelical element to them and have perhaps a more literal interpretation of some of the religious texts of the Bible. I mean, the idea of an eye for an eye is something that's is very, very popular. Some of these were often, in the past, frontier states where they tended to be slightly lawless. And I think, historically, the death penalty was used widely as a way of maintaining law and order.
If Kenny does lose all of his appeals and this execution goes ahead, would you go and watch?
There are a limited number of media slots, if you like, to put it crudely, and they are usually taken by local media and the Associated Press, which is the sort of the news wire of record in the US. So I don't think I'd be invited to. I would go to Alabama for the event. I think it's a story that I've worked on for quite some time. I've never met Kenny Smith. I've had communication with him, but I've never met Kenny Smith.
How will you feel if he is executed?
I don't know. I didn't know Kenny Smith until some months ago. Our communications have always been warm. I went to Israel for the paper during the war between Israel and Hamas, and I said I wouldn't be in touch because I was going away, and he said, "Well, be careful. It's very, very dangerous out there." I thought, well, that's sort of quite a touching comment from someone facing what he's facing. I certainly think he's someone who is not the same person he was as a much younger man. I mean, I'm certainly not the same person I was when I was 21, 22 years old. Is the legal system there to reform people and to make people better people? I guess in many ways it is. But he'll never have the chance to show that he is that kind of person. I think that after such a long time, I can't really see what's served by carrying out an execution in this case, certainly at a second attempt to kill him. So, yeah, I think that it will be a sad day for not just Kenny and his family, but also for the justice system. It really is a sort of, you know, society giving up on one of its people.
I can't say I don't believe an eye for an eye. You know, somebody wronged me, somebody killed my mama, I'd be out for blood probably. But I don't agree with putting a man in prison for 3.5 decades and then torturing a man and then putting him back in a cell. And a year later, let's try it again.
You've been listening to Stories of Our Times, a podcast brought to you thanks to the subscribers of The Times and The Sunday Times, with me, Manveen Rana, and my guest, Alistair Dauber, Washington correspondent for The Times and Sunday Times. You can find all of Alistair's work from America at thetimes.co.uk with a subscription. The producer today was Olivia Case. The executive producers are Kate Ford and Fiona Leach, and sound design was by Mao Lissetto. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The secret to summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Its signature scent of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.